I don't know about you, but I'm in no hurry to do that. It scares me to just look at it. Now, I'm sure there are some daredevils here, and I'm sure that if you talk to me, I'll do some research and we can get you signed up for a base jump. This morning, I want to encourage you to take a leap into the love of God, a leap like you've never leapt before, to really do what this passage says, is to check the depth, the height, the breadth of his love, because it's far bigger than we think it is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we ask that you would edit this message. Start with me and edit my life. And then give us ears to hear what you want to say. And the power of the Spirit to walk in your ways, because we are weak. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its depths, its length. Plumb the heights. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full of the fullness of God. I became a Christian, and the church that I was going to was one of those churches that you didn't drink if you were a good Christian. And I was really happy about that. As you know, I came from an alcoholic family where both my parents were alcoholics. My dad was a violent drunk. And I was pleased to no end that alcohol was not a part of the church and that those who did drink were getting there. My foster brother, Tom, gave me a book. He gave me The Tales of Narnia. Some of you have read that, seen the movies. Great book. I love those books. I've read them many, many times. And every time I read them or see the movie, I find something else that I can learn from it. And that took me on a journey to read C.S. Lewis. And so I began to read C.S. Lewis, and he had an impact on my life. And his book, Mere Christianity, is a classic, and it had a huge impact. And one day, I was watching a show on C.S. Lewis on the television, and they did an interview with him in his office in Oxford. He was a don at Oxford University in England. And behind him on the shelves was alcohol. And I went, how can he be a good Christian and drink? This man who has taught me so much, how can he have alcohol in his office? I went, but God, you say this is bad. And all of a sudden, I had to do something because he had this impact on my life. And so I opened a door in the box. I said, it's okay if you socially drink once in a while, as long as you don't get drunk. Drunks were still out. And I was very happy there. I liked that box. And then as I studied this passage and wrestled with it for a year, one night God brought back a memory that I hadn't thought about for years. I was actually laying in bed and I was thinking about this very verse. And God reminded me that my father went forward in a church and asked Christ to come into his life. And right away, the battle began. God, but there's no evidence of anything ever happening, so he can't be in the kingdom. God, he's never changed. He never gave up his drinking. He never gave up his violent ways. As a matter of fact, he was so violent that a woman that he was living with took a gun and blew her head off in bed beside him. She had been so abused. How can you say that this man is going to heaven? You see, because I was wrestling with this threefold question that we've been wrestling with. God is love and there is no but. We are saved by grace and not by works. And we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, if You're saved by grace. You don't have to do anything. And my father certainly had never done anything to act on his commitment. And yet, here was God telling me in my heart that this box that I had built for him was too big or too small. That a doorway wasn't enough. That if God chose to save my father, it was his choice. It was his grace that would do it. It would be nothing that my father did or didn't do. I didn't like this grace. I didn't like this kind of love. I said, God, but there's got to be some rules. There's got to be some standards in the church. And he said, what about David? King David. And so I began to look at King David's life, took a good look at it. David was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was such a lousy father that his one son committed incest with his daughter, and then the brother to that daughter killed that man, and then split the kingdom and tried to kill his own father. That's David. That's what the Bible says. Here's a man after God's own heart. How did David get into the kingdom of God? By grace. Not by what he did, because his record is a mess. And so all of a sudden, God said, my love is bigger than you're allowing. Well, you know, I grew up at a time when smoking, if you were a Christian, you didn't smoke. Remember that? Well, Christian Reformed people smoke. That was an eye-opener to me. I remember going to a meeting of a bunch of Christians in a Christian Reformed church, and after the service, the doors opened and everybody lit up in the foyer. And I went, where am I? And again, God says, we are saved by grace, not by works. And then I began to study, and Spurgeon was one of my favorites, this great man of God. And I discovered that he had a meeting with D.L. Moody. And Moody knocked on his door when he was in England. Spurgeon came to the door with a cigarette in his mouth. And Moody said to him, how can you be a Christian and smoke? And Moody looked at him and said, how can you be a Christian and be fat? Well, you know, we have these boxes. We have these qualifications that we make. You see, the problem is not God. It's us. It's me. I begin to find rules and regulations to exclude people from God's love. I do it my whole life. When I went to Bible college, the big discussion was, could women do anything in ministry? Could they be leaders in the church? And of course, being a young theologian, I got right into that discussion and concluded, no, they can't. You know how that went over at home. I learned very quickly that that isn't going to work at all. And all of a sudden, God said, don't exclude anybody. My love and my choices are bigger than your choices will ever be. And of course, well, there's drugs. You know, anybody who does drugs is not getting into the kingdom. And then God took me into a class on missions, and we studied a guy by the name of C.T. Studd, a British missionary who was a world-famous cricket player before he went overseas. And then he went to Africa and opened up many mission fields, and he was an addicted cocaine user. How does that happen? Tell me about it. His love is bigger than my box. It's bigger than your box. Think about who you exclude from the kingdom of God because of their behavior, and realize that God will knock that box down And then he invites you to come and dance. And we say, I'm not dancing, I'm a Baptist. And God says, don't tell me what I can't do and what I can do. And of course, there's the wrong theology. Young Bible college student, seminary, I was all about the theology, getting it right. Right or wrong, it doesn't matter, because God says we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. This amazing grace that is packaged with this amazing love, that God would so much want you to understand. You see, I came to the understanding that the more I knew about theology, the harder my heart was towards people. The more I understood what was right and wrong about the scripture, I began to judge people on their ignorance. I began to look at groups of people and say, well, they don't have a good theology. Like our Pentecostal brothers. Pentecostals have some blinders on. And I thought, well, you know, they're not going to get to heaven, because they don't have the right theology. And then God put into my hands this book by this marvelous theologian called Richard Lovelace. He taught me all about the fatherhood of God, and I couldn't get enough of it, because I was so desperate to have a real father in my life. And he taught me about it. And then I discovered he's a Pentecostal. I mean, what is going on? And of course, we exclude the Catholics, because the Catholics are those people who are into ritual, and they're into works, and they're into doing penance, and they tell you that you can buy your way out of purgatory, and they just got all kinds of wrong theology. And then God put into my hands a book by a man who just changed my life. A man who was so deep in his understanding of God. And he was a Roman Catholic priest who spent his life at Notre Dame. And then he came to Toronto and finished it, serving mentally and physically challenged adults. He lived his faith. And all of a sudden I said, God, what are your limits? What can and can't you do? And then I thought, well, I finally found the mother load here. Those people who have sex outside of marriage, like, they're not getting there. Like, they're bad people. Well, the truth of the matter is, there are some of you here who are in that category. You know, 40 years in ministry, and I've married two couples in those 40 years that didn't have sex before they got married. And that includes all the Christians that I supposedly married. And I said, God, this is not right. And God said, my love is greater than their sin. My grace is sufficient for them. Their weakness makes me strong in their lives. And wow. I go to Hamilton, and I'm pastor of a failing church, and God sends me a Roman Catholic nun by the name of Sister Carol Ann. She comes and she says, I want to do an out-of-the-cold program in the basement of your church. Will you open the door? And I said, no, go away. That's literally what I told her. Please go away. We're not going to do this. She went away and came back again. I said, no again. She came back a third time, and I said, you're not going to quit, are you? She said, no. And she finally was given permission to do this thing. And we became great friends. And if I don't see her in heaven, I don't know who's going to be in heaven. She's a godly woman. She didn't fit my theological position. She had wrong ideas. And yet God said, I don't like your box. And he flattened it. And he invited me to come and dance. And I don't dance well. So here we are as the Church of Jesus Christ. And we're having all these discussions about gay and lesbian and transsexual and all of that. And this Roman Catholic priest that I mentioned to you, his name is Henry Nouwen. And the last book he wrote before his death was a book in which he confessed that his whole life he had been gay. And that he gave his life to Jesus. It did not change his sexual orientation, but it meant that he had to be celibate because he didn't belong to himself. And I went, wow, am I going to see him in heaven? I think so. You see, what's the difference between a person who gives their life to God, who's heterosexual, who sleeps all over, and a person who is gay or lesbian, who gives their lives to God, and maybe makes some mistakes, but stays celibate and committed to Christ? Maybe that box is going to be shattered by the God who is what? Outrageously in love with every single human being on the face of the planet. I don't like this love. I got to tell you, his love is so outrageous, it's so supernatural that I can't even begin to fathom it. Nor can we. And that's why we take and we build a box and say, God, these are the parameters. This is how far your love can go this way. This is how deep it can go. This is how high it can go. And we say, please stay in the box because that makes me feel comfortable. And we're more interested in being comfortable than we are in being uncomfortable with Jesus. You know, it's far easier to be a Baptist than to be a follower of Jesus. Baptist is easy. Jesus keeps taking me to places I don't want to go. He keeps doing things I don't want to do. Now, until you understand that you even have a box, you can't begin to fathom his love. Because as soon as you begin to understand what your limits on God is, it's not until then that you'll listen to him knocking the sides out of that box. Our problem is God has no limits to his love, but you and I do. We want to remake God in our image, because if God is just like us, then I'm real comfortable. I'm real happy. I'm really very easy to get along with now because God is like me, and so the world is in control by me. But God is not like me. He has absolutely no limits to his love. There is no but anywhere. God doesn't come along and say, you know, but transgender people, you know, they're outside. They're just going to hell. God doesn't say that. God says, I love those people, and somehow I hope that they will understand and discover how much they are loved and trust in my grace. That's outrageous. That blows the doors out of the building. That means that a church like this that has gone through a difficult time is not saved because you got it all right. You're saved because you're saved by grace and his love, and that you're a bunch of sinners. And it's okay to be a sinner because God loves sinners just like me and just like you. The difference between a club and a church is love and grace. A club has rules. A club has defined things that you do. You pay a fee. You pay so much to join the country club. And my friends who have country club memberships, and I've never had one, they have to spend so much every year at the bar. And if they don't, they get billed for it anyway, so you may as well spend it. The church does not operate that way. Whether you come every Sunday, or you come once a month, or you come once a quarter, whether you give or you don't give, whether you read your Bible or don't read your Bible, whether you go to prayer meeting or don't go to prayer meeting, whether you like the person across the aisle from you or you don't like the person across the aisle from you, it's irrelevant. We are sinners. And we're saved by His grace. And I am incapable of loving you. And you're incapable of loving me. And so we get down on our knees and we say, God, help me. If you're going to love this diverse group of people, if they're going to even have a chance at loving me because you know how miserable I am, we need you. We need your power. We need your grace. We need your help. My homework for you this week is start to think about who you exclude from the kingdom of God. Because God's kingdom is a love kingdom. It's not just a get out of hell card. It really is, who do you say God can't love? And then really, go to battle with God. Find out whether He agrees with you. I challenge you to do that this week. I challenge you to really get down on it. I had a person in my congregation who was a Bosnian. He was abused by the Croatians, hated them with a passion. And he couldn't say a good thing about them. If he had a gun, he'd kill them all. And same with Jewish people. And yet I'll see him in heaven. Why? Because we're not saved by works. We're not saved by getting it right. We're saved because God loves us and He gives us His unconditional grace that we don't deserve and we haven't earned. So what's your box? What does it look like? And does it hold up? That's my challenge to you this week. Take a good look and ask God to look at your heart. Let's pray together.